the Bible says that before the Israelites went into battle, the worshipers led the way. Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, the worship team, you guys can be dismissed. Thank you so much. Nothing like some good old-fashioned praise. But before I get started, I just want to take the time to thank my pastor, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, for the awesome privilege it is to be able to preach the Word of God. It's something I don't take lightly. Why? Because it's the Word of God that gives salvation, that changes lives. Amen. It's nothing that we do, nothing that we say. It's all for the honor and glory of God. So thank you, Pastor, for this privilege. You know, recently I've just been thinking a lot about how it's because of their obedience, it's because their faithfulness, we're able to stand here and we're able to worship God here in Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Amen. But real quick, we're just going to hop right into the Word. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have your Bible app, amen, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 1. And the Bible says, give you guys a couple seconds to get there, say amen when you get there. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. If you guys could just bow your heads and we're going to open up in a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, thank you so much, God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, God. And above all else, God, thank you for your love, God, Lord. Your love, God, that's relentless, God. And I pray, Father, that tonight, God, Lord, you just open the hearts of your people, God, Lord, that you speak directly towards us, God, Lord, and that we don't leave this place the same, God, but we leave this place drastically changed and hungry for you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You guys may be seated. So tonight I want to talk to you guys about a misconception that as Christians we have. See, sometimes we give the devil too much credit. We play the name game. And every time that we go through some type of hardship, or every time we go through some type of trial, or when something bad happens in our life, we automatically begin to blame the devil. We begin to tell him, oh, it must be another attack from the enemy. Well, I'm here to let you know that it's not always the devil's fault. It's not always him who's behind every hardship or trial. Sometimes we give him too much power. And I want to let you know that the devil doesn't have power over our lives. And you see right here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says that then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. He wasn't led by the devil. He wasn't led by anything else. No, he was led by the Spirit of God. Where? Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. See, and sometimes God will lead us into the wilderness. And the reason why he wants to lead us into the wilderness is not because he doesn't like us. It's not because he's trying to punish us. No, my friend, it's because he wants to produce power in our lives. See, we blame the devil and we give him too much power. But in actuality, it's not. It's God who wants to lead you into the wilderness to produce power. See, the wilderness is designed to make us strong. Sometimes when we're in the wilderness, when we're going through some trials, when we're going through some hardships, it may feel uncomfortable, it may hurt, it may feel like we can't do it, but it's like working out. Who here likes to work out? Amen. I do not like to work out. We have nothing in common. Amen. So it's like when you work out, the few times I have gone working out, what happens is you get this weight and you begin to lift it up. And what's happening with your muscle is as you lift that weight up, it begins to do what? It kind of hurts, right? So what's happening is that the muscle is beginning to tear. There's small tears in your muscle. And that's the reason, and that's how your muscle grows. So when you lift up the weight, your muscle begins to tear. But then when it begins to heal, it gets stronger. And it's the same way when we enter the wilderness. It's the same way when we face hardships, when we face some trials. It's not that the enemy is trying to take us out. Yeah, sometimes he is, but in actuality, my Bible says whatever the devil intends for evil, God could turn around for the greater good. So when you're going through some hardships, when you're facing the trials, God is using it to make you stronger. It's in preparation. He's preparing you for the battle. Now, a few years back, there was this movie that came out. Who here are Rocky fans? Who loved all the Rocky movies, right? Watched them when I was younger. Great movies. Get inspired. Every time I watch them, I want to learn how to box. But then after a couple of days, I kind of give up on that dream. Well, recently, there was this movie called Creed that came out. And it wasn't about Rocky, but it was about Apollo Creed's son, Adonis Creed. And throughout this movie, the young Creed, Adonis, he goes to Rocky and he says, man, I want to be a boxer just like my dad. I want to be able to fight just like him. And what ends up happening is they find out that he's Apollo Creed's son, and the world champion boxer in the movie decides, I want to fight him. So before Adonis Creed, Apollo Creed's son, gets ready to fight in that battle, he goes to Rocky and he asks Rocky, I want you to train me. I want you to prepare me. And throughout the first half of the movie, he's getting trained. He's getting prepared for the fight. See, before we're ready to fight, we have to prepare. And prepare, the definition of prepare is to make ready for use. See, in 3 short years, Jesus' ministry made such a huge impact. Such a huge impact that it's still here today. We still feel the impact today. He laid the foundation for our church 2,000 years later. In Jesus' ministry, he performed miracles. He healed the sick. He preached the kingdom of God, and he raised up 12 disciples who would later build the foundation for our church. Jesus' ministry made the greatest impact. But you see here in Matthew chapter 4, before Jesus went and preached the kingdom of God, before he started healing the sick and healing the lame and performing miracles, he had to go through the wilderness. See, I want to let you know that the wilderness isn't a place of pain, but it's a place of power. There's purpose to your pain when you're in the wilderness. There's power in the process. The wilderness isn't a place where we could walk in defeat, but it's a place of victory. And God is preparing you for your calling. Amen. Who here believes that you're called by God? Oh, come on, we're Victory Outreach. We're called to go to the highways and byways. We're called to go to the crack houses. We're called to reach the drug addicts. And it's when we're in the wilderness, God is preparing us for that calling. See, the wilderness prepares you for the promised land. In the Old Testament, there's a story about Moses. And just right after God leads the people of Israel out of Egypt, he takes them into the wilderness. And God told Moses that I want to take you to the promised land. So what Moses does is he picks 12 people, he picks 12 spies, and when they go out to the promised land, they come back with a bad report. Now, fast forward 40 years later, you see Joshua, and now Moses is gone, and God raised Joshua up to lead the people of Israel. And at that time, they're about to cross the Jordan, and Joshua says, I want 2 spies. To go to the promised land, to go to the city of Jericho. And let me tell you, when the 2 spies came back, they didn't come back with a bad report. They said, truly, the Lord has delivered us the land. See, Joshua sent 2 spies instead of 12. And sometimes there are people in our lives who will prevent us from walking into the promised land. They're the other 10 who are telling you, you can't do it, you can't make it. But I want to let you know that when you go through the wilderness, when you go through the hardship, when you go through the trial, God is preparing you, God is building you up, and God is removing the people in your lives that will keep you from the promised land. Sometimes when you're in the wilderness and you look around and there's nobody there, you cry out to God and you say, God, where is everyone? Why am I all alone? Well, what we really need to do is we need to praise God and say, thank God he took that person out of my life. All they're going to do is bring me down. All they're going to do is be negative. Oh, come on. The wilderness is there to take you to the promised land. See, the wilderness is a place of preparation. It was the wilderness that built up the spies and prepared them to walk in the city of Jericho and know that God can use a harlot like Rahab to deliver them from the king of Jericho.
It was in the wilderness that Israel learned that God can provide manna from heaven, that God could bring quail to fall for me, that God could make the bitter water sweet. It was in the wilderness that God could even produce water out of the rocks. See, we sometimes think that the wilderness there is there to defeat us, but I want to let you know it's in the wilderness we learn that God is able in our life. Oh, maybe you're too shy. Maybe you think you can't walk in your calling. Well, I want to let you know when you walk in the wilderness, you learn that God is able. God is able to move in your life. It was in the wilderness that God showed us that he was able. When we face the promised land, when we face our calling, when we face what God wants to do in our life, it's the process we went through in the wilderness that's going to prepare us to go across the Jordan. Come on, somebody. We know that God is able when we face the wilderness. And to be honest with you, sometimes when we're in those wilderness seasons, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. Come on, somebody. It isn't always easy. It's one thing to come up behind the pulpit and say, man, you can get through it. But when you're actually in the wilderness, sometimes it feels like you can't make it. Sometimes it feels like, oh, man, your world's falling apart. Sometimes you feel like you want to give up. But I want to let you know that right after the wilderness comes the promised land. And what I want to give you is three things that can help us when we're in the wilderness. Three things that will help us that we learn from Jesus. See, the first thing is Matthew 4:4. The Bible says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, the first thing we have to know if we want to make it through the wilderness is we have to feed on the word of God. Now, I have such an amazing wife. She is so beautiful. She is so awesome. And one thing about her is she knows how to cook. Come on, somebody. She knows how to cook some amazing meals. And before I was married, I would always eat out a lot. I would always eat all kinds of junk food. You know, we're busy, I don't got time to cook, whatever, all the excuses. But when I got married, my wife, she always makes us some amazing meals. She likes to meal prep, so I'm the guy at work who always has the awesome lunch. She cooks every Monday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I learned that after eating my wife's meals, that I kind of began to start losing weight. And it was because I wasn't stuffing my mouth with all the junk food, with all the stuff that doesn't have nourishment. I was eating healthy, cooked food. And sometimes when it comes to our lives, we begin to go to the things that don't nourish our body. When we're facing problems, when we're facing trials, we go to our unsaved family members. Oh, we go to our coworkers. We go to our boss. Man, we go to our friends who don't come to church. And see, when we do that, we're just feeding ourselves we're not nourishing our bodies. We're feeding ourselves with the junk food, the McDonald's, the Wendy's, the Burger King. No, but I want to let you know, when we feed on the word of God, that's what's going to nourish our body. That's what's going to give us what we need to support ourselves. That's what's going to give us what we need. Come on, somebody. It's the word of God that nourishes our body. And when we feed on the word of God, we're reminded. You know, I think that sometimes as humans, and it could be because of our sinful nature. It could just because, you know, we're humans and we're not perfect. But sometimes we easily forget. Man, we always forget. You know, there's a study out there that says when you walk into another room, you forget you forget why you went there. That's why sometimes when you're at a house and you're like, oh, I need to go get a pen or I need to get this. And you walk into the kitchen or you walk into your bedroom, you like forget what you're doing. That happens to me all the time. I'm at work, and we work in a big warehouse. So I'm on one side of the warehouse doing something, and then I'm like, oh, I need this. And I walk all the way across, and then I'm like, man, I forgot something. See, sometimes we forget. And when we feed on the word of God, we're reminded. We're reminded that we don't have to live by situation, but we live by revelation.
Oh, come on. We don't live by our situations. Our past doesn't define us. The choices we made doesn't define us. Where we work, how we think, if we're not good enough. No, that doesn't define us. We live by revelation. We live by the revelation of God and what He says to us. Our circumstances don't have to decide our future. Oh, but I'm here to let you know that the Word of God determines our future. Oh, if you have family members that tell you you're not good enough, if you have people who say, oh, you can't do it, oh, it doesn't matter what they say. All that matters is what God says. All that matters is what He says in His Word. God says that we're a chosen generation. God says that we're called. God says that we're loved. Our circumstances don't decide our future. What God says decides. We have to learn to feed on the Word of God. Develop an appetite. Because when we're in the wilderness, oh, it may seem like everything's falling apart. When we're in the wilderness, it may feel like we can't go through it. We can't get past it. It may feel like we're not strong enough. Well, let me tell you something. We aren't strong enough. That's why we need God in our lives. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that way we could receive salvation and we can get through it. See, we have to feed on the Word of God. We can't live a day without feeding on God's Word. What happens when you don't eat? I'll tell you what happens with me. I get hangry. Man, I just like, oh, I gotta eat. I'm gonna admit something to you. I'm a better eater than I am a faster. Amen. I fast, but I'm a way better eater than I am a faster. And when I don't eat, you know, I get all grumpy. Like, oh man, no one wants to talk to Brother Devin, man. Oh, he must have not get that guy a Kit Kat bar or something. Amen. See, it's the same thing with our spiritual lives. Man, when we don't feed on the Word of God, man, we get all in the flesh. Man, we're wondering, why isn't there any power in my life? Oh, how come I'm going through the same thing? How come I'm facing the same trial? Why can't I get over that next obstacle? We need to feed on the Word of God. Every athlete, every great athlete knows that he needs to nourish his body. Before he can win the championship, before he can win the contest, before he can win the game, he has to nourish his body and take care of his body. We have to feed on the Word of God. The second thing is we can't allow doubt. We can't allow doubt. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 and 7, it says, "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" See, the devil was trying to get Jesus to doubt who God said He was. Are there any people here who went through the wilderness and, man, they were thinking, "I know I'm called. I know God has a purpose." But when you're in the wilderness, you think, "Is this really happening? Oh, what, you know, God said, you said, God, that I was called. You said, God, that I had a purpose and a plan." Sometimes when we're in the wilderness, it doesn't look like it's happening. There's seasons where you feel like, oh, there's no way I'm going to be that guy. There's no way I'm going to be that pastor. There's no way I'm going to be that missionary. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen. But we can't allow doubt to come into our lives. We can't doubt who we are in Christ. We have to know who we are. We have to know our identity in Christ Jesus. Honestly, doubt is just another word for fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. And faith, and we have to have the faith that God means what He says. If God says it, it's going to happen. We don't have to worry about Him walking out on us. We don't have to worry about Him failing us. No, if God says it, it will happen. See, in the Old Testament, when you were named something, that name would describe maybe a characteristic of you, or maybe it would define you. So if there was someone who was tall, they would probably name him Tall.
If he was short, they probably call him Shorty, you know? Well, in the Old Testament, there were many names for God. And every single name described a characteristic or an attribute of him. God's name is, he is our provider, he is our healer, he is our banner, he is our peace, he is our shepherd. If you believe it, if God says it, then give him some praise. If you know that when you're in the wilderness and you're facing some trials, God will be your peace. If you're in the wilderness and you feel like you can't be healed, well, I want to let you know God can heal you. God will be your banner. God will be your shepherd. If he says it, then it'll happen. He's all these things. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our banner. He's our peace. He's our shepherd. And when we're in the wilderness, we have to hold on to those. We have to hold on to it. I remember when I was younger, I really, really wanted this thing called a PlayStation Portable. It was like a PS, it was called a PSP. I was like in middle school. And man, I wanted that thing like never before. I would see commercials on it. I would read ads in the magazines about it. I would like walk to GameStop and just look at it. I'm like, oh man, I really, really want that. And I remember I would work for it. I would do like odd jobs or side jobs. And I remember that I would do some jobs, but honestly, now that I look back at it, I didn't really raise up enough money to buy it. But thank God for my mom, she bought it for me. She said, you know what, I'm going to get it for you. And I remember that she said she would get it for me, and then 1 week went by, and then 2 weeks went by, and then three, and then a whole month went by. And I'm like, Mom, come on, did you get that game for me? Oh, no, I'm going to get it. And it was in that time, even though I didn't physically have it, even though I was waiting, I would hold on to the idea that I would be playing that game. And in the same way, when you're in the wilderness, if you need healing, if you need provision, if you need him to be your shepherd, if you need him to be peace, even though you can't feel it in that moment, you gotta to see it in your hands, you gotta hold it like it's already there, because God is that, and when he says it, he's gonna do it. You have to see it. Don't ever begin to doubt God, especially when you're in the wilderness. Because God is building you. God is strengthening you. And the third thing is, we need to worship God. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve him. Now, when I imagine that scene, I think that scene is cooler than any Avenger movie out there. Man, there's all these cool superhero movies. There's cool fight scenes. But when I imagine Jesus telling, get behind me, Satan, you have no power. Oh, we're only going to worship God. Oh, there's power when you worship God. Man, what a powerful scene. In the wilderness, we need to worship God. In the wilderness, we need to press into his presence. We need to lift him high above our lives. And we need to declare, even when we don't feel good, that God is good. I'm going to say that one more time. When we're in the wilderness, we need to lift him high above our lives. Even when we don't feel good, we need to declare that God is good. God is still good. See, when we worship, we make a statement. I remember when I was a teenager, I would make a statement to rebel against my parents. Like a big statement. They tell me do this, I wouldn't do it. Making a big statement. And I wouldn't be quiet about it either. Well, when we're Christians, if we are men and women of God in the wilderness, we need to make a big statement with our worship. We need to say, even though everything's falling apart, even though I can't handle it right now, I'm still going to praise you. God, you are good. You are mighty. Oh, worship's going to get you through. I remember I was told, when you worship, man, the devil will look at you like you're not smart. You'll be like, man, I'm throwing everything at him. Everything's falling apart. That guy is in the wilderness. But you're still there on your knees, lifting your hands. You're still here at these altars when we begin to do praise and worship. You're here when we call the altar call. See, that's when you begin to get that breakthrough. When we worship him when we're in the wilderness, we're declaring to God that I don't want your stuff. I don't need the blessings. I don't always need to feel good to worship you. God, I love you in the good. I love you in the bad. It doesn't matter. Why? Because you died on that cross for my sins. You died so that way I could have eternal life. Are there some people here who are thankful that God died on the cross for our sins and we could stand here with the purpose? We could stand here with the calling. We need to worship him. We gotta worship him like never before. It's in those moments. Man, there are times sometimes when I feel like I want to give up. There are times when I feel, oh man, I can't do it. But that's when I just turn on the worship music on my phone and I just get in my prayer closet. I'm here at these altars and I just begin to praise him like never before. I begin to give him worship. I begin to pour it all out here at this altar. Worship is good. I'm reminded of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, it's in that story where they're facing the king. They're facing King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's telling them, you better bow before these false gods. And the three Hebrew boys, they say, man, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bow before these false gods because I know that God can deliver me. I know God can save me from the fiery furnace. But nevertheless, even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow to the false gods. I'm not going to give in to the wilderness. I'm not going to give in to all those things. See, we have to be like that. I can imagine that moment being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I could be one of those guys. Probably scared that, oh, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I'd still be afraid. Imagine how much you have to love God and worship him to say, I'm not going to bow down to those false things. I'm not going to give in to the wilderness. I'm not going to give in when everything's falling apart. Man, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to give it all to God. I'm going to give it up to God. We can't give up. We got to give it up. Come on, somebody. That's a whole different message. Come on, we can't give up. We got to give it up. Sometimes when we're in the wilderness, God's trying to take some things out of our lives. God's trying to pull those things from us. God's trying to mold us. God's trying to shape us. Man, gold is purified in the fire. So when we're in the wilderness, it's not a sign that you don't have a calling. It's not a sign that God is mad at you. It's not a sign that you can't do it. In fact, it's a sign that God wants to raise you up, that God wants to use you for greater things, that God wants, has a calling upon your lives. And I believe as Victory Outreach, man, God has called us to travel the world. God has called us to preach the gospel to the hurting and lost generation. God has called us to reach the lost at any cost. So if you're here tonight and if you're going through it, I want to let you know that God is preparing you to preach the gospel and make a difference in somebody's life and bring hope. We have to know that God is going to do something in our lives when we're in the wilderness. We have to worship him. Sometimes it's really hard, but we have to continue to worship because I know that God has something more for your life, even if we can't see it. If the worship team can make their way, man, three things that we have to do in the wilderness. The first thing is we have to feed on the Word of God, develop that appetite. The second thing is we can't allow doubt. And the third thing is we need to worship. We need to worship like never before. Now, when we think of the wilderness, in biblical times, and the way the Bible portrays it, is that it's a place of chaos. That it's a place of danger. That even in this passage of Scripture, it's a place of temptation. But it also can be a place of solitude. Man, we live in a world where there's so many distractions. There's so many different things telling us, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you can't do this. Oh, all your dreams, all your hopes, oh, that calling. The wilderness could be a place of solitude
where we can get away from the distractions, where we can get away from everything that's trying to pull us left or right or up or down. The wilderness could also be a place of nourishment. It's in the wilderness that we learn how to truly rely on God's provision. I want to let you know right now that even when you get your paycheck and you look at your bills and you feel like, oh man, there's no way that I could pay all my bills and tithe, I want to encourage you to step out by faith and say, you know what, regardless if I have enough or not, I'm still going to give God my first. I'm still going to give God my 10% and watch God provide for you. It's in those wilderness moments that we begin to see how to truly rely on God's presence, on God's provision. The place of the wilderness is also a place to receive revelation from God. When we're in the wilderness, it's where we can come to these altars and we can begin to seek Him and we can begin to hear His voice. It's in the wilderness when we don't know what's happening and everything's falling apart, God will begin to show us what He wants for our life. So if we could all just stand to our feet. I believe that there's some people here who may be going through the wilderness right now. Maybe there's some people here who maybe be on the brink of giving up. Who may feel like, I can't go through it another day. I can't make it another day here in the wilderness. Maybe you're thinking, oh God, I just need you, I need you, I need you. And you're in the wilderness, so you feel like He's not showing up. Well, I want to let you know right now that in those moments when we're in the wilderness, and we may not be able to feel God, God's doing His deepest work in your life. This is our year of expectation. This is the year where God's going to raise up leaders. God's going to raise up preachers. God's going to raise up missionaries. God's going to raise up people here in Victory Outreach who are going to go to our city and reach the lost at any cost. But before that could happen, we could have to go through the wilderness. So if you're going through the wilderness right now, I believe that God wants to give you breakthrough, that God wants to move in your life. If that's you, these altars are open.